to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 119, Psalm 119. It's a wonderful psalm. It's a long psalm. You might think, well, it's a very difficult psalm to learn. What can we learn from it this morning? Well, obviously we can't go through the psalm because of its length. But what I would suggest to you, what I did some years ago in my own time, was to read a little section each day and then to write after that section perhaps something in that section that came to you in a very special way. Maybe just one little phrase, one little word, and make a note of that, and then you can record it and you can look back later on and read as you work through Psalm 119 and each little section as it's broken up for us. Just take out one little verse, one little thought that perhaps is a special blessing to you. And looking at this psalm again fairly recently, I came and looked at the section that we have read this morning. And it starts, as you remember, in verse 57. Now, just as a bit of background context of this psalm, the psalmist's love for the word of God, that's the main theme, isn't it? As you look over the whole of Psalm 119, if we were to ask one another, what do you think is the theme, the general theme, the main characteristic of this psalm? Well, I think one title would come to us all, the love for the word of God. And then there are five particular longings, I think, that we could see in this psalm as we read through it. Five particular things that the psalmist longs for in this psalm. He longs to apply it, first of all, to his own life. So as you read through Psalm 119, you come time and time again to this tremendous fact that the psalmist not just wants to give us a long psalm, not just that we might learn it perhaps by heart or sections, but that we might apply it to our lives day by day. And then the second longing is he longs for constant teaching of the word. Over and over again in this psalm, the psalmist emphasizes his longing to have this psalm, the word of God, being taught to him, not just in the head, but in the heart, to work it out day by day. And then another longing, he longs to be kept from all evil and temptation. This comes out time and time again. The psalmist's desire, the psalmist's prayer, the psalmist's longing that he might be kept from all evil and all temptation. And then further, he longs to delight himself in the word. Again, you've come to this time and time again, that the psalmist's hunger, appetite, delight for the word of God. And then he longs for boldness to proclaim the word. One thing to have it for ourselves is one thing to love it for ourselves. But time and time again, he bursts out. He longs for boldness to proclaim the word of God. Now, you remember these five longings as you read through Psalm 119. And I think that's probably all summed together when you come to verse 97, the psalmist suddenly says, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." All the day. Isn't that wonderful? He's so thrilled with the word of God. He's so hungry for the word of God. He so longs to share the good word of God with others. He longs to be kept close to the Lord. Oh, how love I. Can we say that? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. Now, we're going to look at this little section, starting at verse 57, Sheth, the heading, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Now, when I was reading that recently, it's one word that just caught my attention, and it's the word portion. Portion. We're going to think this morning, dear friend, on these words particularly. Thou art my portion, O Lord. And I believe that when the psalmist wrote these words, and as we can read them, there's something tremendously exciting about them. You can't read this verse in a kind of a monotone. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. No, suddenly the psalmist seems to burst out with praise. Thou art my portion, O Lord. If you were invited out to go to some friend's house for tea, and the tea is spread out, the meal, and your hostess comes in with a lovely Victoria sponge, beautifully iced, full of jam, and might say to you, would you like a portion of this cake? And you took the whole cake, you may not be invited back. But dear friend, this word here isn't just a little piece of the Lord Jesus. You can't just, thou art my portion. Thou art my portion. The original word is the whole delight. You are my whole delight. My Saviour and my God. So I ask myself this question. Am I so excited? Thou art my portion, O Lord. Not just a little bit of my life. Not just I'm going to let him have a little section of my time, my money, my being. He deserves it all. Thou art the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Thou art the altogether lovely one. Now you can remember these few words, I trust, this morning. When I return, God willing, later on in the year. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Four times in the book of Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist refers to this lovely word. And in every place, he's not just speaking of a little experience of the Lord Jesus. Thou art my portion, my delight, my all in all. Now you'll notice, first of all, the psalmist's close relationship with his God. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. His delight in God, his hunger for God, his appetite for God, he's thrilled at this tremendous fact that the God that he loves and worships is a great God, worthy of all praise. This leads him, you'll notice, to a glad spirit of submission. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is very precious to you, if he is the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000, and you're thrilled by that, well surely, dear friend, you will want to be kept day by day in close communion with him. You will daily pray that you may be preserved from all evil, because he is the delight, he is the darling of your soul, and you don't want to wound his heart, you don't want to grieve the spirit, you don't want to quench the spirit. Thou art my portion, my whole delight. I have said that I would keep thy words. You see, one follows on from the other. If God is the portion, the delight, the thrill of our souls, well surely, dear friend, we will want to know what it is to walk in his ways day by day, that we might please him who has chosen us. I have said that I would keep thy words. But he goes on. He says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. But he goes on, I have made haste and delayed not to keep thy testimonies. So you see that his delight in God, the fact that he loves his God so intensely, affects the way that he lives, affects the way that he worships God, affects the way that he witnesses of his Saviour. And he finds in this nothing irksome, nothing hard. He's not being forced into this kind of praise. It's this spontaneous effect. God is his portion, his whole delight. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice too that this encourages him to recognize that he is not the only one who is thrilled with his knowledge of God. Verse 63 of our reading. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. So there are others with him. There are others who are encouraging him in his walk with God. He's having sweet fellowship with those of like mind. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? There are others who fear thee, and because they fear thee in a right sense, in a godly sense, they are then led to keep thy precepts. Let me emphasize that. There are many today who would say, well, you don't want to bring this kind of teaching to the church, surely. You don't want to tell people that they have to fear God. But we do. We do. It's a wonderful privilege. When you know God to be your portion and your delight and the altogether lovely one to your soul, surely, friend, you'll want to keep his precepts. Surely, Lord, we want to keep thy ways and please thee. Thou art my portion. Fear of God, keeping his precepts, go sweetly in hand, one with another. It's not irksome. It's not boring. It's not legalistic. Oh, sometimes people charge us over that. You're too legalistic. You want to be free. Oh, friend, may the Lord help us in such situations. And may we be overtaken by this word portion. Whole. The whole God is mine. Mine, mine, mine. The altogether lovely one. I don't know if you've ever heard of Reverend Evan Hopkins. He was one time rector in Cheltenham at St. Matthew's Church, a very, very godly man, Evan Hopkins. And he says these words, how little we know of all that is included in God's unspeakable gift. We're not only saved from eternal death by the reception of that gift, we are enriched by it. And I thought those words were very helpful. Evan Hopkins is here emphasizing that it's not just a fact to say, well, we're saved, but we are enriched. And he's majoring on this word portion. Thou art my portion, O God. Friend, is this your experience? I just want to challenge you this morning. So I challenge my own heart. So easy just to go along with the crowd. So easy year after year. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. But are we thrilled this morning? As Evan Hopkins says, that great gift, we are enriched by it. We're made very wealthy by it. He is altogether lovely. I think this is summed up for us in one of the Psalms, Psalm 36, verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Isn't that a lovely verse? They shall be abundant. I want to challenge you this morning. They shall be, are you abundantly, dear friend, satisfied with the fatness of God's house? Do you know anything of what it is to drink? And drink, and feed on the richness of his pleasure. they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. What does that mean? Well, again, commentators help us there. And they say that word, thy house, is actually speaking of Christ himself in Psalm 36. That's wonderful, isn't it? When you link it with this word, thou art my portion, it's not just I'm blessed being in the church, the building, the chapel, it's good to meet together, but thy house in the very presence of God himself. And so we can say, I trust, with the words of the hymn writer, thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all, in thee I find. Or the words of the psalmist in Psalm 81, verse 10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, but my people would not hearken to my voice. What is your condition this morning, beloved, in the house of God? Can you hear the Lord saying that to you this morning? Open your mouth wide. Be hungry. Have an appetite. Don't just go drifting on day by day. Have this wonderful experience. Yes, experience. You suddenly burst out. You say, oh God, thou art my portion. My portion. It's a wonderful proclamation to be able to make. Thou art my portion, O Lord. And again in the original we read it like this, Jehovah is my portion, is my inheritance, more precious than any other. Let me repeat that. It's a wonderful proclamation to make. Jehovah is, not maybe, not could be, not was, but Jehovah, the mighty God, is my portion, more precious to me than any other. So many of the Psalms emphasize this, don't they? Psalm 16 and verse 5, the Lord is my chosen and assigned portion, my cup, you hold and maintain my lot. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. There you have it again. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence just in things provided by man. The Lord is my portion. One hymn writer puts it so powerfully, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. So all we're doing this morning, just reminding one another that we have a great God. A great God, as we launch out in this new year, it's worth proclaiming it and telling others. Telling others. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Are you there this morning? Is he your portion? I dare to ask. Is there anyone here this morning who can't say that? You're trying the things of the world to satisfy all your hope, all your trust in things, possessions. Can you say this morning, the Lord is my portion? And as you proclaim this tremendous statement, so you will need, dear friend, great boldness. Boldness to speak of Christ, to make him known to friends and family and neighbours. You and I will need great boldness so that you might be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of your Saviour? Dear friend, when he is your portion and your full delight, you won't be ashamed. You won't be ashamed, because your soul is so enraptured by him. Remember Peter and John on trial before the council in Acts 4. We read that Peter was then filled with the Holy Ghost. Another filling after Pentecost. That's another subject. But how important that is, dear friend. As you read through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find time and time again in special seasons of need and crisis, another filling. Another filling of the Holy Spirit. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, neither is there salvation in any other. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. What is it that gave them such courage? Because these early disciples knew much of the fact that the Lord was their portion, and nothing would stop them. They were given this holy boldness, this indwelling, infilling, anointing of the Spirit for that particular need to declare unashamedly the things of God. So you'll need boldness as you and I go out. The Lord is my portion. Hold your head high. Nothing to be ashamed of. He is so precious to you. And then you'll need, dear friend, I suggest, conviction. And by that I mean full assurance. Full assurance. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What do we see in that? Well, we see in these early apostles not only boldness, but conviction. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul, as he prays those wonderful prayers for the church at Ephesus in chapter 3 and verse 12, could say, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. When the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious to you, when you're able by God's grace to say, thou art my portion, it's not just something that you've learned. It is the experience of the heart, and you're being given boldness and conviction. Absolute certainty. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So it's a wonderful proclamation. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, to confess his name. Hold your head high. Ask that the Lord will give you grace and strength, and that your soul will be filled. He is my portion. He's all that I need. Ever faithful, ever sure. A wonderful proclamation to make, but it's also a wonderful possession to enjoy. Thou art my portion. And in that little word art, you've got this lovely picture of a wonderful possession, something very special, a very special treasure to you. You'll notice the psalmist doesn't speak of his ordinances. He doesn't even say his word. He doesn't even say the church or anything about him or anything from him, but God himself. Could we emphasize that? A wonderful possession to enjoy. The church, the fellowship, all good, all helpful. Thou art my portion. We used to sing those lovely words I'm feeding on the living bread. I'm drinking at the fountainhead. Is that true this morning? Not my portion. Not on things, not on people, not on denominations, not on verses, nothing like that. I'm feeding on him. Thou art my portion. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as he confronted the woman of Samaria and this comparison she was making. Jacob's well. Jacob's well. Don't dwell so much on Jacob's well, says Jesus, for those who just drink on Jacob's well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Thou art my portion. Are you just tied to Jacob's well, to tradition, to this, to that rule? Thou art my portion. He is the fountain. Come to him afresh. Drink from him now, feeding now upon him. That great high priestly prayer of our Saviour the Lord Jesus in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Ah, you say, that's going to be a wonderful day when in his presence we behold his glory. It is, dear friend, it is. But let me suggest to you this morning, you can have a little foretaste of it now. Now. Thou art my portion. You can become excited now, this morning, in Witten Chapel. A fresh revelation of his love. A fresh view of the cross. Last Sunday morning in our church we had a most amazing sermon preached by a brother from Northern Ireland. I've never heard a sermon quite like it. There were those of us who were beginning to weep as we were being taken through the Garden of Gethsemane. Thou art my portion, O Lord, O Lord. Now let's just apply these thoughts as we come to a close. If we're thrilled, if we're excited, if we're moved by the fact that God is our portion, it will be a wonderful aid to our witness, to our witness. From outside the walls of this chapel, it will be a wonderful aid to our witness. Psalm 34 verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And then he goes on and says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So we leave this church this morning. We go out into the coming week. And we go out into the coming months, if God spares us. We go out into the coming year, not knowing what a day may bring forth. But those of you who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to become excited, thrilled at being a Christian, that you've been saved by God's sovereign grace, that he's rescued you, that he knew you before time was. He brought you to himself. And this morning you're going to have a new view of him and of his love and of his purposes. And you want to go out and share that good news, a wonderful aid to our witness. Secondly, it will be a unique strengthening to our own soul. We're rather selfish at times, and sometimes we tend to say, what will it do for me? My dear friend, when you're caught up with the words of the psalmist, oh God, thou art my portion, it'll do everything for you. Everything. We're in a spiritual battle. So often the enemy would assault us in various ways. Where can we find relief? Where can we find help? Where can we understand afresh the words of Romans 8? There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, you come to the end of the chapter where the apostle says, I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And if you're so caught up, if you're so moved, if you're so thrilled that the Lord Jesus is your Saviour and your portion and your full delight, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ. A wonderful proclamation to make. A wonderful possession to enjoy. But lastly, there's a wonderful peace to experience. To compare all the seeming treasure which the world offers to this great possession. Thou art my portion. Solid joys, lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. You can have a wonderful peace, the peace of God, which passes all knowledge, all mere thinking. Thou art my portion, and I have such a peace. We have instant access to that treasure which no man can take from us. Isn't that wonderful? As a believer, as a child of God, thrilled by this great fact that he is the altogether lovely one, all I have needed, we can have this instant access to the treasure which no man can take from us. We have his immediate presence with us at all times. What peace this brings to us. To hear the word of the Lord saying to us as we seek to make him known, lo, I am with you always. Always. What a peace. We can fully trust his word. I have said that I would keep thy words because, the psalmist says, it is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 7. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I was looking through the hymn book this week and came across these lovely words in one of Paul Cook's beautiful hymns, and I think it sums it up for us this morning. Oh, how mighty are the riches of a grace so large and free. Let me repeat that. Oh, how mighty are the riches of a grace so large and free. Thou art my portion, saith my soul. And I close with the lovely words of Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What is this all about? Very briefly, it's the psalmist in Psalm 45 who is so thrilled, so full of God, he can hardly contain himself. My tongue is the pen
of a ready writer. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. We close with that. It's a challenge to us all, isn't it? Are our hearts overflowing this morning with a godly theme? Thou art my portion, O Lord. Sing I must. Christ is mine, my Saviour, and my God. Our tongues to be used for the proclamation of His glorious name. Oh, how often our tongues get into mischief, idle gossip, idle talk. Oh, that we might be more used, and our tongues more used, to tell others that we have a great God. He's worthy to be praised. He's the altogether lovely one. And they may well ask you the reason of the hope within you. I hope, dear Christian friend, that you'll be able to tell them the wonders of your Saviour. And let me repeat, should there be anyone here this morning who knows not Christ as Saviour, oh, that you may come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. Let us pray. Forgive us, eternal God, our Father, if we're slow to speak of the wonders of Thy grace to others. Forgive us, O Lord, when we use idle excuses and just merely say that we're shy and perhaps even ashamed to own our Lord. Grant, O God, that we may go from this service with hearts overflowing, and day by day, as long as life shall be granted to us, it will be our delight to be able to say, Thou art my portion, O Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sing number 593. God is the refuge of His saints. When storms of sharp distress invade, ere we can offer our complaints, behold Him present with His aid. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and for evermore. Amen.